Okay, Bible and Daily Lifers, we are going through the New Testament, one chapter a day, and we are today in Acts chapter 6. Now, Acts chapter 6 is kind of interesting. What it's telling us is that the church has problems. Every church has problems. Why does it have problems? Because they're made up out of people. And they say, if you find the perfect church, please do not join it, because if you join it, you will ruin that perfect church. And I've been saying it a different way, a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but really meaning it, is that when you figure out that they're all lousy churches, the better off you're going to be. Now, it's God's people, God's gathered people. We make a mess out of everything. However, the church is the greatest force on planet Earth and the greatest force for change, and it is the vehicle of God's truth on the planet. It's where he is sharing his word to the world through. So here we are in chapter 6 of the book of Acts. In those days, in what days? In the days that the church was growing and the church was starting to have trouble. Trouble from the inside, trouble from the outside. Chapter 5, there's trouble from the inside. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, meaning people were coming to Christ, new people were coming to the Lord, new people were joining the church, the Hellenistic Jews, well, now that's those who spoke the Greek language, kind of had the Greek background, the Greek culture. The Hellenistic Jews, among them, complain that the Hebraic Jews, because they said their widows were overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So it seems like the church has some sort of a program here where they're taking care of the widows. And, of course, the widows come from various backgrounds, and some of them come from this background where the Greek culture and the Greek heritage and the Greek lineage was a part of who they were, and the other one was the Hebraic ones, the Jewish ones. And now they're complaining. They're saying, you know, you're giving favor to the Jewish widows and not taking care of us as much. Was that true? It seems like it might have been true from the account here. Verse 2, so should we be surprised that there's favoritism in the church? Should we be surprised that people give preference to people? Should we be surprised that there's cliques in the church? Absolutely not. But we don't need to stay that way. Let's do something about it. Verse 2, so the 12, the leaders, they gathered all the disciples together, so they get the whole body together. And they said, it wouldn't be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Nothing wrong with waiting on tables. It's just not what they felt that they were supposed to do. There's a lot of people coming to Christ. The number of disciples is increasing. Somebody's got to teach them. And they're like, you know, we need to give ourselves to teaching. And somebody else needs to take care of these widows. And it's we don't think that it should be us. We need to find somebody else. So verse 3, I don't think they thought they were above it by any means. Verse 3, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn the responsibility over to them, and we will give attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. So we'll just give ourselves to praying, interceding, studying the word, teaching the word, getting people strong in the word of God. Now, this is interesting because they were supposed to find 7 men who already were filled with the Spirit of God and already were known for their wisdom. One of the guys who mentored me in church leadership, we're sitting in a circle, maybe 10 or 12 pastors, and somebody said to him, how do you find elders and deacons? And he said, it's very simple. Elders eld and deacons deek. And somebody said, well, what do you mean by that? And he said, don't go looking for elders and don't go looking for deacons. Find the people who are already doing it and recognize them. And then, you know, give them the position and the authority to run with what they're already doing. Well, this proposal, verse 5, pleased the whole group. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. Now, kind of interesting, and they chose Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicolas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. Now, Nicolas converted to Judaism. Nicolas is a Greek name, so they were pretty smart here, pretty wise, And they took people that were from a Greek background and put them on that team. So that there's people from a Greek background, there's people from a Hebraic background, and together they're going to work this out and they're going to do what's fair and do what's right. So they were real wise in the way that they chose these people. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed for them and laid their hands on them. When they laid their hands on them, they were giving them the authority and they were telling them to go and do the work. Something about giving people the authority and letting them do the work that's good and that's valuable and that God wants us to do. And that's where you find the expansion, is when you're giving it to other people to do. So the people are there. It's not that they had to look for them or they had to recruit them or they had to put an ad on Facebook or something. They were there. They just needed to find the ones who were already doing it and allow them to run with it even more and to recognize that they're running with it, and the whole body recognizes that they're running with it. Now, verse 8, they presented it and they laid hands on them. So the word of God spread. You see, when everybody's doing their part, the word of God spreads. That's the whole idea of the body. Everybody is doing their part. Everybody does their piece. You don't need to do what somebody else is doing. You don't need to be what somebody else is. You know, sometimes out of duty, you need to serve, even though maybe your role isn't to be serving all the time, to be serving, in a weekly capacity, or to be making some commitment to serve for the next 3 years or something. You know, if somebody needs help moving a table, go help them move the table. You know, there's serving, but they were serving all the time. This was their ministry. This is what they were doing with their lives. So the word of God spread because everybody was doing their part. And the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. So the priests who were hostile to the gospel, who were hostile to Jesus, who also were involved in putting Jesus on the cross, they're coming to Christ now. So people change their mind at various stages of their life, and these guys are changing their mind at a various stage in their life. They were against it before, and now they're coming to faith. Verse 8, now Stephen was a man full of God's grace and power, and he performed great signs and wonders among the people. This guy's just a deacon. This is just a guy who moves the picnic tables. You know, this is the guy who rakes the leaves. This is the guy who brings meals to shut-ins. And he's doing great signs and wonders among the people. Well, opposition rose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the province of Cilicia and Asia. They began to argue with Stephen. They began to argue with him. But they couldn't stand up against the Spirit, the wisdom that the Spirit gave him as he spoke. So here's a guy who, again, he rakes the leaves, he brings the meals to the shut-ins, and they can't argue with this guy. The trained religious authorities can't trap him. Then they secretly persuaded some men. They said, "We heard Stephen speak blasphemy against Moses and against God." Well, this is what they tried with Jesus. You know, let's get some false testimony. Let's get some people to say something that's not true about Jesus. Well, that didn't work then. Won't work again. Verse 12, so they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen, the deacon, and they brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified. The Sanhedrin was a group of 70 people. Now, they weren't elected officials. They didn't have any political power, but they certainly had the power in the community. They were community people, 70 of them, you know, who would sort of make decisions for the community, and the people recognized their ability to do that. They produced false witnesses in verse 13 who testified, "This fellow never stopped speaking against the holy place, which would be the temple, and against the law. For we heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses has handed down to us." They're saying that he said that Jesus would destroy the temple. Well, all who were sitting there in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw his face was like that of an angel. Well, you know, this guy's on trial, this guy's being criticized, and what's he doing? He looks like an angel. He is at peace. God is with him. The next chapter, stick with it. Do the next chapter, because you're going to see Stephen's response to their charge that Stephen keeps speaking against the temple and keeps speaking against Moses. So a Bible and Daily Life, chapter a day, let's make it through the New Testament. You know, if you need to catch up, then just start where you are and move forward. You know, trying to catch up, you might be trying to do that forever. Don't live by guilt. Just let's learn the word of God and enjoy Jesus together. Hey, bless you guys. Love you. Bible and Daily Life. Peace, peace, peace.